things that keep a person from the tochen. To go to Chazorah, the five, and then he mentioned a few others. And he says very important, so that we can work on these things and make sure that they don't interfere with our betochen. Basically, the theme running through the things that prevent a person from getting in touch with betochen are a lack of knowledge and understanding about reality. We got to yesterday where we said that the further thing away is from the outcome, the more influence it has on the outcome. And the closer it is to the outcome, the less influence it has on the outcome. Which is a bit counterintuitive, but he gave the example of the melech who wants to kill a slave, and the shalshelis that it goes through, of the chain of order that it goes through until the guy actually doing, or the machine, the rope that's actually doing the death sentence, has no say, whereas the person who's the furthest away from the actual event is the most influential feature of the event. That's where we finished off yesterday.
But in the physical world, we have no contact with the king.
Yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you talking about?
No, with Akadosh Baruch Hu, yes, but...
He's the king, that's yes. What we're talking about.
Yes, but in the physical ones, that means...
I do have contact with him via his tzivuim.
Yeah.
When the king gives an edict, right?
If you have a problem with administration here, you have no contact with...
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's because we live in a bureaucracy. No, yeah. I'm saying in terms of understanding the marshal. I have contact with the king via his edicts.
Yes.
But the person I'm dealing with has no power at all.
No.
My late father used to say, when you go into a government office and you need something done, find the guy that can say yes. There's 100 people in that building that can say no. You don't want to speak to them. You want to find the guy that can say yes.
So?
Everybody says no. They listen to you patiently and yes, 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 and they say no. Why? Because not allowed to say yes. Go find the guy that can say yes. Oh. So the guy that can say yes is the last guy you get to deal with. But I am dealing with him directly via the calls and chain of command that he set up. But the guy that I'm dealing with is the least most powerful guy in the business. The most powerful guy, the most influential guy, and the biggest cause of it is the guy sitting upstairs, who has this chain of slaves all the way down. I don't have to deal with the king. The slave that's getting hung, he doesn't get to talk to the king. He gets to talk to the hangman. He doesn't get to talk to the guy who the hangman works for. We, by the way, we go straight to the king.
Yes.
That's the feature of the king, because we're his children. Bonimatem Hashem Elokeichem. He's our father. So buddy, you can talk to him whenever you want. You should talk to him whenever you want. Your primary relationship that you should have in this world is with Hashem. You know what I mean?
That's the only things that we have to do.
Yeah. But the vote is that in this world, in the world of Teva, of cause and effect that we live in, the thing that's doing the actual event is far removed from Hashem himself. There's certain things that it says, Hashem says, I'm doing it myself. He doesn't send malachim and he doesn't have this chain of cause and events and natural chukim in the world. He does it himself. Our job is to see through all of that and understand that everything Hashem is doing himself. It's all just Hashem. But we're not on that level. We need to be able to function in the level we're on. But can never forget the ultimate reality. That's all from Hashem. There isn't any cause and effect. But in the world of cause and effect, we see it's going to interfere and confuse us in our betochen. You can see that. You start thinking the hangman's the guy that's in charge. That's our problem.
It's interesting that in this country, as opposed to America and probably other countries, the clerk here, the lowest level clerk, can sometimes make a decision that you'd never expect in another country. I've seen that here.
Yeah. It's a funny country, this. We're Jews. We have the kings in prison and the cooks running the prison. In most countries, you have to have been to prison before you can become the prime minister. You've got to become the prime minister first before you can go to prison. This South Africa, it's almost a prerequisite. You know, if you want to become a prime minister, you've got to be in prison. You know, you've got no chance otherwise. Yeah, if you want to get into prison, you know, you've got to. Klal shel dover. Binyan abatochen u'eifozeh. Comes out therefore that the major principle of betochen is this. Kakol sha'adam makiris elokim yoisa. To the extent that a person recognizes Hashem more. Ukakol shumam in yoisa she'elokim shemer lav mashgiach moed al tovosoy. And to the extent that a person has imuna, that Hashem is guarding him and taking care of him, and it's all Hashem's taking care of everything for his good. He has more betochen, he's more secure, he trusts him more, which is possible. But the more you can trust someone, the more you can trust him. The more you know the person and understand the person has your best interests in heart, the more you give over your trust, the more secure you'll feel with that person. And I'll prove it to you. Child at the beginning of his development, what does he trust? Mother. He trusts his mother fully. He trusts the sad. He trusts his mother. That's what he's saying. At first, he just has trust in the thing that is giving him the milk, the tzad, the sad. Later, he starts trusting the mother itself. He realizes there's something connected to this berit. Because he sees she's doing all sorts of stuff for him. She's doing often taking care of him, changing him, moving him. Don't touch this. Go, yeah. The pasuk there, fundamental stories going on here, big sugyas going on here with the shtickle tehillim here. Gaonak says, if I didn't hope, im lo shivisi v'domamti nafshi, and I didn't silence my heart, kagomul alai imoy, in the same way that I relied on my mother, the same way that I nurtured myself from my mother. It means ultimately the relationship that a baby has with his mother, that's what our relationship with Hashem is supposed to look like. There's a piece in the middle that's very important, otherwise he just looks like a baby the rest of his life. We'll see what that is now. As he gets older, he realizes there's a father in the picture here, who the mother's also listening to. And therefore he starts having botayach in the father. He realizes his father can do more and protect him more than his mother can. When he starts getting stronger, as he gets older and sees he's also capable of doing things, he starts trusting himself more, which we'll see is tickle. Because up to now he never recognized Hashem in the picture. He went from having total trust in his mother and then his father, then he started trusting himself. And as he gets older, he has to start trusting Hashem. But if he misses out this middle piece of trusting himself, then he's just going to be a big baby. He's going to be a little baby relying on mommy, and he's going to be a big baby relying on Hashem. He never developed anything of himself. He's just lying there waiting for someone else to take care of all his problems. That's why this middle phase, even though raising teenage children can sometimes be challenging because of this, as they go through their discovering independence and I can do anything and I don't need anybody and don't tell me what to do. It's a critical stage of their development. Don't deprive them of that, no matter how much it hurts. And it hurts. Well, raising teenagers today is not a picnic. It's in a time when children had COVID for their parents and they would tell you not to tell them what to do is one thing, but today where you can do what you want and you don't have to listen to your parents and nothing, it makes it a bit challenging to raise kids in this generation. But it's a critical phase that they've got to go through. Then they have to channel that into betochen in Hashem. But to go from being gomol alai imoy to gogomol alai imoy without this middle phase, it looks terrible. You see people running around like that.
Right, because they have to see it's wrong. Because of this or why?
No, they need to develop their own koichus. You have koichus that Hashem gave that He wants you to use in the world. He doesn't want you to lie in bed like a baby getting mommy to take care of everything for you. Well, now you know you can't rely on mommy anymore, so now you just treat Hashem like mommy. So you're just allowed to do nothing, you're just functional, and everything you just throw at Hashem. No, Hashem gave you koichus, He gave you a job to do, go out and then do it. You have to trust your own abilities and skills to do that, but you have to connect that to B'tochen in Hashem ultimately. Otherwise, you're just a big Balgaiva. But if you miss out that middle phase, you just never, there's no you in the picture. There's mommy and Hashem, but where are you? Well, I'm just taking whatever I can. I don't want that. I want you to be able to use your koichus. I want you to build yourself. That's why we came in the world, is to build ourselves. Obviously, to build ourselves look more and more like Hashem. In psychology, there's any one of these phases can go wrong, and then it starts looking kind of challenging in the later stages. You can have a child who doesn't trust his parent because the mother's neurotic, and there's all sorts of problems at that age. Or the child's abandoned at a young age, or there's divorces. There are a lot of reasons why the first stage could go funny. There's a lot of reasons why the second stage could go funny. Yeah, where the child never gets to, you know, fall and scratch his knee and break his hand and make a lot of mistakes and bump himself around until he starts realizing, you know, that he's not all powerful and superhuman, and he starts relying more and more on Hashem. And in the third phase, we've been discussing now, you can stop not even trusting Hashem. You know, you can come out of the second phase thinking you're God Almighty and really mess up. So at any one of these three stages, you can go funny. But those three stages are critical, and that's what he's describing here.
I've seen women in overly protective homes with their parents.
Of course, you miss out the middle phase.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're solely dependent on their husband.
Well, that's the wife's problem. They're supposed to be dependent, but I'm saying the child. Sometimes you have parents who don't let the children grow
up. Right, exactly.
And the child stays a baby's whole life because the parents never gave them the space to be themselves. And that's a challenge. And a lot. There's not a chinuch class. I don't know anything about chinuch. I just throw it all over Shem. It's like a baby. No, I'm just saying. The Vortier is in the world of B'tochen, is to understand that trust is something that needs to develop very early on, and independence needs to develop when it's supposed to develop, and then trust needs to be developed again. Those are the two psukim in David HaMelech. Gomul alai imoy and kegomul alai imoy. But I'm totally dependent on my mother, and then get connected to Hashem like I was with my mother, but not as my mother liked, because David HaMelech made himself into the fullest, most fully functional person you could find. He didn't become a nobody, but a rabbi. But then everybody, well, that's by the way the tafkid of Mashiach, is to become everything and then give that to Hashem. Not to give Hashem nothing. Well, I know what to daven for, so Hashem, you do whatever you want. We say that we're not trained to daven like that. You have to come with all your yearnings and all your passion and all your ritzoinus and beg Hashem for what you want. Why? You do whatever you want. No, you see, Hashem wants us. He wants us to do what we're supposed to do and build ourselves and use ourselves and use our seichel. You don't see Baalei B'tochen doing nothing. You know, Reb Chinam Ben Dosi is our model of the greatest Baal B'tochen. Our model in Chazal. Yeah, oil burns, vinegar burns. He's living in a world where there is no natural laws. There's just Hashem. And he didn't do anything with his life. Reb Chinam Ben Dosi, he was the God of Lador. He ran Bate Dinim. He did. He was very involved in the world. But he knew at the end of the day that Hashem ran the world. It's a hard shiluv there, by the way. When you have B'tochen, you start getting B'tochen, it's very, very comfortable and easy just to throw everything at Hashem. The B'tochen, I don't have to worry about anything. Hashem told you, you've got to be shtadlis, and you've got to daven, and you've got to change, and you've got to grow, and you've got to use reichel, and you've got to analyze. You see the sense of responsibility when you've got to a God of Israel with problems. You see the sense of responsibility and the energy and the effort and the toil that goes into making decisions. What? Just do it, it's all Hashem. No. You have to be fully actualized. And then turn it to Hashem. Well, that's just in, okay, back on the page. It's just, that's one of the proofs he's bringing to show what he's trying to bring us. Okay. Umasuba chosidecha chaya lo shochein seifu mohir. Shamispanis mischak sivosu. One of the Hasidim, I never know who he's talking about when he talks about one of the Hasidim. He had a neighbor who was a sofer. And he used to be a mefanes from writing. Pam shoyel chosid eshchoina, ma shlemcha? How are you? On la sofer, shleimi toiv kol oid yodi shleima. Everything's good with me as long as my hand's fine. You couldn't insure your hand in those days, you know. Today a guy's a sofer, you can insure his hand. As long as my hand's okay, I'm okay. That day his hand got got destroyed and he couldn't write anymore. These people are very high level. They're very high level. But he got punished because he was trusting his hand and not Hashem. We'll discuss that. Mitzvah when we finish here, there's been an ongoing sugya here that we've been, we have to get in touch with. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll do it afterwards. When we finish here, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll bring that together. And we'll discuss this Nakuru as well, as why they were able to live on that level and why we don't. Why aren't we on that level where you see immediate results the way they were? Chazal Asser was a king who went to the doctor. He was ill and he went to a doctor. Terrible ancient. That's become the model of this sugya of what did you do so wrong by going to the doctor? And why are we machayv to go to doctors? You have to understand the different dagas we're dealing with. These people lived on a daga where this sofa said, as long as my hand's okay, I'm fine. You lose your hand on the spot. Wow, it's quite a high level. we don't have that problem. We all trust all sorts of stuff, whatever. Hashem doesn't take it away from us. He leaves with it. That's because he knows where we hold it. We have to discuss that as well. If a person makes his pasuk from other people, so now he starts relying on those other people, and he places his trust in them. So we're talking about this teenager that's growing up. As he starts getting a bit old, he starts realizing, actually, I can't do anything. He went from being able to do nothing to thinking he was able to do everything to starting to realize, they get to about 20, 21, they start growing up. They realize, one second, I'm not all powerful. And they start realizing they need Hashem. He starts turning his betochen over to Hashem. But he only gives over to Hashem the things he can't get himself. The things he can still do himself, he holds on to. No, I don't need Hashem for that. I'm fine with it. You know, this aspect of the business, I'll take care of. Hashem, you just deal with the bank manager. You know, I'll deal with everything else.
The rain,
if he's a farmer, he understands he's going to give that to Hashem. At first he thought he could deal with that as well. He suddenly realizes, I'm going to be a farmer, I need rain. So then he gives to Hashem.
All
the natural, you know, what we call acts of God, you know, what the Apikosim insurance companies called an act of God, you know, the things that they don't have to pay you for. They call that an act of God, you know, they deny the existence of God, but they don't want to pay you, well, that's God's fault. You know, go deal with God, you don't have to do with us, we don't pay for acts of God. God who, you know, you guys don't believe in God. They call it an act of God. Okay. So all those things, a disease affects his animals. Those things that a person, no matter how clever or whatever he is, he can't affect those things. When you're starving, then you get up and say, Hashem, help me. What's the pasuk telling you? It's only when you're hungry you remember me, says Hashem. Pasuk Yirmiyahu. In their famine, they got up and said, Hashem, help me. That means when they didn't have a family, everything was going fine. They didn't get up and say, Hashem, help me. Because it's all coming from their koichas. Now he gets a bit older, and he starts getting to about 40. He starts marrying with children. He starts recognizing Hashem a little bit more. He starts recognizing Hashem a little bit more. He starts trusting Hashem even in the things that he can do. I understand the stock market and I'm gonna buy and sell, I'm gonna make money. Yeah, so he understands that, he knows he can do that, but even there he starts trusting Hashem. He gets offered jobs that are dangerous or that weaken his body or whatever. As a lawyer, second, he doesn't take them. What are you gonna do? You're gonna feed your family. No, trust that Hashem will give him easier ways of making a living. And as he starts understanding and recognizing, and his betochen grows even more. And then he gets to the point where he realizes he has to do the mishtalis and do what he's doing, because that's a mitzvah of Hashem. You have to serve Hashem. And he does that because he's trying to keep the mitzvahs, not because he has any understanding that he's doing anything, and he hands it all over to Hashem. But he continues doing what he has to do because there's this thing called ishtadlus. And now he gets cleverer. There's 10 levels here, I think. And he starts recognizing the rachamim that Hashem has on his creatures. Now he starts being happy with everything Hashem gives him. Both in his mind and in his reality. Both in his internal world and his external world, he's completely happy with what Hashem gives him. The Sameach Bakoma Shalakim Aisaimoy. The Mavasubachaim, love, death, Ba'ini Ba'ishab, Briat Bachaili, whatever Hashem throws at him. Why did Hashem choose these things for me? He's got no questions. He only one wants for him. An extremely high level. He hands it all over to Hashem. There's nothing in the script he would rewrite. Whether he's rich, poor, sick, well, in peace, in war, living, dead, there's nothing in the script he rewrite. Whatever Hashem's doing, he would want exactly the same thing. He would write the same script. Okay. He only chooses what he has. He doesn't want his friends doing. He looks at his friend and thinks, wow, if only I could become a stockbroker, I could have all this money. If only I could be a whatever, I don't know, a potato farmer, I would have whatever. And if I would be a police. No, he's happy with what he does, and he's happy with what he's panosa. Because he knows, even if he'd do what his friend was doing, it wouldn't make him. Somebody, you know, people always say this one, you hear it all the time. I can kick myself, you know. I really should have bought in Rabat Beit Shemesh 20 years ago. What are you talking about? If Hashem wanted you to buy Beit Shemesh 20 years ago, you wouldn't have kicked yourself. He would have made you buy. How many times did you buy and you kick yourself because you shouldn't have bought? How many times did you do the wrong? If Hashem wanted you to have 14 dirhams in Ramat Beit Shemesh, now when you drove in there 20 years ago, you would have put a chicken in your cup to buy. He didn't want you to have those dirhams now. What are you kicking yourself for? Yeah, we don't have Bechira there. What are you kicking yourself for? You kick yourself in the areas where you did have Bechira and you messed up. Then you should kick yourself before Hashem kicks you. But. My grandfather was offered downtown Pretoria. You know where Church Square is? The Times Square of South Africa for £50. Okay? In those days it was what? I don't know, today would be the equivalent of $50,000 or whatever. I'm talking about a song. Nothing. On condition that he fenced it off, because in those days there was cattle and whatever, and they wanted to fence it off and start the CBD or whatever. Without the fence, he argued he would do it without the chiyuv to fence or whatever. Eventually they couldn't come to an agreement, he said, take it. Today that's worth, I mean, it's not worth anything, it's billions. I mean, there's no way to put a value on that. So go kick yourself? No! For Hashem wanted you to own it, you would have owned it. There's no chiyuv involved there. This is Moshe Reichman's vote, with Shina said it here when he came to visit once. Moshe Rachman said, Hashem wanted me to make a lot of money. He said, put a chuk in my cup to buy a building. So I bought a building and it was an unbelievable success. Then Hashem decided he wanted me to lose a lot of money. So he put a chuk in my cup to buy a building. So I bought a building and I lost a fortune. Two people buy a building on the same day. The one guy makes money, the other guy loses money. You ever see that happen? So what's it going to do with? Why? Somebody yesterday said to me, I could kick myself. You see what's going on here, whatever. I could have had that and I could have bought that. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't, because if you could have, you would have.
But if someone takes a wrong decision, it's normal or not normal?
In the area of Bechira or out of Bechira? There's no Bechira whether to buy a building or not, unless there's included in that some aspect of Avodas Hashem. If it's just Hishtadlus for Panasa, now, once again, you have to make proper Hishtadlus, same as in Shidduchim. Let's use Shidduchim, because the Gemara that discusses Shidduchim is the same Gemara that discusses buying fields. You know the famous Gemara, Arbin Yom Lifnei, the conception, a bas kol goes out and says, Ben Ploini, the bas Ploini. The same Gemara says, Sode Ploini, the state Ploini, Bais Ploini, Bais Ploini, the Ploini. This house is going to go to this one, this field's going to go to this one, this Shidduch's going to go to this one. There's some sort of beshet in your property. So now, you walk up to the first girl in the street and say, will you marry me? No, you know why? Why not? Because that's not the way you buy a field. Why did the Gemara put Shidduchim together with business, with fields? Because the same way you buy a field, that's the way you got to find a wife. You want to buy a field, you want to buy business, you know, you get the accountants, the land surveyors, you know, you get the construction guys, you do a whole big feasibility study before you buy that field. The same with Shidduchim. After you bought the field, meaning after you got married, did you marry the right girl? Did you buy the right field? Yes. The field turned out to be a swamp. You bought the right field. What do you mean? I lost a fortune. You were supposed to lose a fortune. Shem put in a chuk in your kop. But you, in your world of ishtadus, has to make every possible ishtadus to make sure you're doing the right thing. What that amount of ishtadus is depends. How mad you have to go, how far you have to go, that depends. Yeah, that's each individual's each situation, depending on many factors. His betochen, his chusim, how much ishtadus he has to make. There's some poiskim that hold in shidduchim, you don't have to make any ishtadus anymore. You have to make no ishtadus. You make minimal ishtadus to find out that, you know, she's normal, she's not ill, whatever. But all the checking before and after. You have to ask your own shalas, yeah. I'm not, most poison all today, you've got to do proper ishtadlis, the same as you would for a field or a house. Nobody walks into Mat Bet Shemesh and buys a villa and puts down 5 million shekels and doesn't get a, you know, an engineer in or a lawyer just to check. Maybe it doesn't belong to the guy that's selling it, you know. You make minimal ishtadlis, you know, some kind of ishtadlis. So in achinami. But once you've bought it, even if you made what you call the wrong decision, it wasn't the wrong decision. Even if you're ishtadlis, you made a mistake. Whatever, you turned over 2 pages and you missed the geological report that said this was a swamp. You were supposed to miss that part of it. The same way as if it turns out to be a gold mine. Yeah? And really, it wasn't a good decision. It was the wrong decision because you missed the report on the swamp. But it turns out that the swamp is actually a gold mine, the geologist was wrong or whatever. It was also all Hashem. That's very interesting. I won't go into the politics of this, but after Entebbe, remember the Entebbe event? There was all these hospitals out in Uganda, and they sent everyone, whatever. When they came to tell Rav Shach about it, he said, you know, it was osa for them to go. Up here, Locha, if they'd asked me, I would have told them it's osa to go. Because of many, it's fascinating. Sugyas, Rav Tetz says, I'll offer you sharing on this sugya. Not related to Entebbe differently, but how many lives are you allowed to spend in order to save lives? Are you allowed to risk one life to save 100 lives? Famous question, Kazanish has a famous story about a guy who was driving a car and his brakes failed. When Rav Tetz tells the story, he says it was an Israeli car, so he never used the brakes before, he didn't know there weren't brakes. It was the first time he ever used it. He was going down the Carmel Mountain and his brakes failed. And in front of him were 10 people waiting at a bus stop. And if he didn't do anything, he would career into those 10 people and kill them. But he could swerve the car. The problem is there was a person standing here, and if he swerved the car, he was going to kill him. Are you allowed to kill him to save 10? There are many interesting sugyas here. It's a whole shir and a whole sugya on its own. I'm not going to go into it. But it's not so poshut to risk one person's life to save many people's lives. Anyway, that's not the discussion here. So the person that told Rav Shach this, Rav Shach said, well, he said, but you see how much slich it was? Look at the siyata lishma they got. He said, not every time you get siyata lishma in something doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. Sometimes you can do the wrong thing because Hashem wants the outcome, so he gives you almost siyata lishma. You see, Hashem wanted the outcome. Horiah, look at the outcome. But you shouldn't have done it. If I didn't do it, Hashem would have taken care of it some other way. The outcome is going to happen either way. Right? And sometimes you do the right thing, said Rav Shach, and the outcome doesn't look so good, and you think you did the wrong thing. No, you did the right thing. Hashem is outcomes. We're not in charge of outcomes. You have to open up a Shulchan Aruch and ask, what am I supposed to do here? And sometimes the outcome can be terrible for you. Did you do the right thing or not? They also Vic de Miller, weren't you? He had many campaigns against the plummeting morality of American society. He had many. He used to issue flyers and he used to do all sorts of stuff and campaigns and sharing or whatever. And he was very, very often he wasn't successful. You look around America today, you can see it. he didn't succeed in too many things, you know, the abortions and whatever. He fought it. So he said, you're not upset by all these failures? So he said, two amazing reasons why not. He said, no. Because first of all, I did what I was supposed to do. What happens after is none of my business. But second of all, he said, I was doing that for my own integrity, to protect and defend my own sense of morality in a society where the morality is plunging. Because otherwise you get drawn off to the society. So I was doing it to protect myself. You know, I protected myself. I shouldn't be happy. I did what I was supposed to do in the world. I was a better person for it. So very often you have to know, if this was a Bechira decision, you're going to have to deal with whether you did the right thing or not. The outcome, nothing to do with you. Being a perfect right, it says, someone's drowning in a river, you have to jump in the river and save him. What happens if you know that nothing's going to help this guy? He's destined to drown at that particular time, and nothing you could do can save him. Let's say you had a Ruach HaKodesh, you knew that, and you didn't jump in and save him, and he drowns, you're a murderer. Why? Because you killed him? He was going to die anyway. No, because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. What you did was a Maisa Ritzicha. So you punished not for him drowning, you punished for your Maisa Ritzicha. And by the way, if he was supposed to be saved and you were the one that was supposed to jump in and you used a Bechira not to, okay, and somebody else goes and saves him, you're also a Rotzeach. I mean, he never died. Yeah, but you did a Maisa Ritzicha. Obviously in Basin you can't give him a death sentence because there's no corpse here. But in Shemayim, you're a murderer. You see, Hashem pays us and deals with us based on what we're supposed to do, not the outcomes. But also you need to know whether this is Bechira or not. And not everything that we do is a Bechira decision. But you have to act responsibly. Once you've acted responsibly, go to bed. If you didn't act responsibly, do tshuva and move on. And don't get stuck.
You see, very often people take the wrong decision. They receive a warning or some warning before.
Yeah. Well, Noach told me once, I was a big millionaire in New York, how did you make all your money? He said, all the mistakes I made turned out. I made a lot of mistakes and they somehow turned out good. Other guys did everything right into the book and it didn't turn out so good, you know? Oh, shit. All right. Let's go learn some Torah.